She's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That time of year when the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana, the church where God blesses its people, senior pastor, the Reverend Joseph L. Garth, share those bountiful blessings with the community and friends and surrounding areas as part of its Family and Friends Day. On Saturday, May the 21st, 2016, the family picnic kicks off at 10 o'clock a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. There's going to be boiled crawfish, fried catfish, hamburgers, hot dogs, and also a health wellness fair and free games galore. 7 p.m. to end a day of togetherness and fellowship at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. This year, as a special treat for you, music lovers young and old, the award-winning none other than Mother Mossy Burks and the Mississippi Mass Choir of Jackson, Mississippi, singing those old-time favorites, burden-releasing, soul-uplifting songs. Your Grace and Mercy. They got the word. Jesus paid it all. Jesus Can Work It Out, and many, many others, too numerous to mention. You'll be blessed in your soul and spirit. This is going to be a highly favored event. It's going to feel like heaven on earth in the sanctuary. Tickets available at the Pleasant Hill Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Phone 337-238-1779. Distinguished Ladies and Gentlemen's Barbershop, 337-401-4452. In Leesville and KAYT FM Radio Station, 5003 Masonic Drive, Suite 113 at 318-484-2500. Tickets online may be purchased at www.eventbrite.com. That's www.eventbrite.com. This promises to be a day of glorious fellowship and a hallelujah good time.
See and do it. Gotta keep on running. I got a story to tell. Now tell somebody about King Jesus.
I ask that you would turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 6. And I'm not going to be before you very long at all, but there is a word from the Lord today. Luke chapter 6, we want to call your attention to verses 39 through 42. Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 42. And there you will find these words. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For just a moment this afternoon, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject: spiritual clarity. Spiritual clarity. Thank you, ushers. I want to suggest to all of us today that if we're going to live life in abundance as the Lord has promised us, if we're going to stand against the wiles of the enemy, if we're going to have prosperity and victory in our lives, then we all need to make sure that we have spiritual clarity. We need to be able to see things the way God sees them. Most of the time, we're depressed, we feel defeated, we feel discouraged because we're looking at things through our own eyes. But I believe I have some witnesses here today who knows that when we look through the things of this life through spiritual lenses, we gain a clearer understanding of what the Lord is saying and of what the Lord is doing in our lives. And I don't know about you today, but I need to see God in every aspect of my life. Even as we interact with people, sometimes, amen, people can be joyous today and be your friend today and be smiling in your face today. And sometimes you don't have to wait until tomorrow. Sometimes you discover that even while they were smiling in your face, they were lying on you behind your back. And I need to be able to see with crystal clarity what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing in times such as this. Am I the only one in this place today who has to deal with trouble, who has to deal with heartache, who has to deal with things not always going the way I want them to go? And if I look at it through my eyes, the tendency is to get depressed. The tendency is to feel defeated. But when I look at things through the Lord's eyes, I understand that even though it may be bad to me, if it is God ordained and God directed, ultimately it will be good for me. I am in Bible country. The Bible says that all things work for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so, my brothers and sisters, the only way you can appreciate things from God's perspective, you have to have spiritual clarity. And in order to have spiritual clarity, we got to get some stuff out of our eyes. So we got to get some stuff out of our eyes. Now, Jesus says that he says that you are a hypocrite if you feel the need to cleanse everybody else's eyes when you got dirt in your own eyes. Well, can I say it like the Lord says? He says that in a real sense, some folk are complaining about a splinter in somebody else's eyes when they have a whole log in their own eyes. Jesus says that you are a hypocrite if you can find, amen, your doctorate degree in what do you call it, ophthalmology, amen, when you have disease in your own eyes. I think it was the William brothers, Brook Cutright, who said it something like this: sweep around your own front door before you, amen, sweep around mine. I heard Sister Cora Moore say, spend 6 months minding your own business and 6 months leaving other folks' business alone. The narrative that I'm trying to get you to understand today is that before you can help other folk get spiritual clarity, you've got to first of all what? Get spiritual clarity for yourself. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I need to see things the way the Lord would have me to see them. And if I'm going to do that, I've got to gain spiritual clarity. Well, the first thing I would suggest to you
is that it's difficult to see the moves of God. Tell your neighbor, God is moving. It's difficult to understand the actions of God. Tell that other neighbor, he is an active God. See, God ain't like some of us just sitting on his throne doing nothing. God is always up to something. And I don't know about you, but I feel like my father in the ministry, Bishop Paul Morton, when he says, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, what he said, don't do it without me. Is there anybody here today who wants to be used of God? Is there anybody here today who has resigned having your own will done, your own way? You are willing and ready for the Lord to use you. Well, guess what? He wants to use you. But he's not going to use you if you're seeing things through your own eyes. You've got to see it through his eyes. So the Apostle Paul tells us, In the word, he says that we have to, watch this, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, some of y'all won't admit it, but sin is real easy. Some of y'all won't bear witness to the fact that it's easy to sin. See, I see those halos shining. Amen. I see you. Amen. Amen. And I said all the time in Bible study, you don't have to have HBO to think of some dirt. You don't have to have Showtime. And see, I'm being real nice because there's some other channels y'all pay for. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Amen. I'm going to get in trouble. Amen. But is there anybody here who knows you don't need anything outside of you to tempt you to do dirt? James said that we're tempted when we're drawn in of our own lust. See, if it ain't in you, it ain't gonna come out of you. So somebody asked me, Brother Corbin asked me the other day, why is it, Pastor, that some folk, when they get old, they get up in age, they start cussing and using profanity? And I'm talking about folk that were in the church. They were saints. Amen. But they get up in age. Don't look at Sister Bill. Amen. They get up in age and they start using all kind of words. Well, guess what? If it wasn't in them, ouch. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, while you're young, amen, you need to start obeying God. While you're young, you need to start seeking after God, because as you get older, you know, amen, I'm 50 now. Some stuff y'all used to worry me with 10 years ago, I don't even lose no sleep over. Some stuff that used to bother me and have me where I couldn't sleep and couldn't eat. Well, you can look at me and tell, that stuff don't bother me no more. God bless you, Sister Mallet. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. But the real reason is because as I walk with God, as I get closer to God, as I get in a deeper relationship with God, as I start seeing things through God's lenses instead of my lenses, I come to the conclusion that some stuff the devil means for my bad, God is going to work it out for my good. I've come to the conclusion that some stuff my enemies throw at me, they're throwing it at me to harm me, but they don't realize that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. They don't realize that God will make your enemies your footstool. Is there anybody here today who understands that when you start seeing it God's way, when you get spiritual clarity, ain't no need of you staying up all night? No, the Bible says he never sleeps. He never slumbers. So I may as well go on and get some sleep. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to get some sleep. I'm going to get some sleep. We have difficulty seeing the beams, seeing the splinters, seeing the logs in our own eyes. Amen. We easily see stuff in other folks' lives, but a lot of times we miss our own stuff. But tell your neighbor, you got to see the dirt in your own eyes. But then the second point I want to give you this morning is that the removal, and I don't know about y'all, but I found out that it can be a little hair in your eye. It can be a little speck of dust in your eye. That ain't comfortable, is it? Amen. And sometimes the process of getting rid of it is more uncomfortable than the thing being there. But you need to understand that if you're going to have spiritual clarity in your walk with God, sometimes we've got to go through the painful processes to get rid of the stuff that is hindering us from being used by God. I said sin was easy. Paul said, let aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily. But yeah, it's easy to sin, but it's hard. Amen. Come on. Where are my folk who've been dealing with an addiction or a habit, and you've been praying, Lord, deliver me from this thing. Lord, help me to overcome this thing. Come on, tell. Where are my witnesses who will admit it ain't always easy? Now, there are some folk that can say a little prayer, you know, Lord, deliver me from this, and it's over with. But some stuff we call strongholds. Y'all know I've been losing 50 pounds for 20 years, but I got a stronghold. Can I tell you what my stronghold is? Popeyes, Burger King, Piccadilly. And then they really messed up. They put a Golden Corral just 45 miles now. And see, I just assume that they put all that food out. They expect you to eat some. It's all there. Amen. But if you're going to have spiritual clarity, I'm joking, but I'm serious. If you're going to have spiritual clarity, you've got to go through the painful process of getting over whatever it is that is holding you strong. Amen. Now, see, food is hard because we need to eat. Amen. But somebody said Louisiana folk, we don't, how does they say, we don't live to eat. We eat to live. We don't eat to live. We live to eat. All of that. It's all true. Amen. But I realize that if I'm going to overcome that thing, amen. It's a painful process. Let me see the hands of you who've ever tried dieting. All right. Amen. And Sister Darcy, God bless you. I did a lot of walking the other day, and whenever I do a lot of good walking, I put it on Facebook because I have that watch, you know, that tracks all of my steps. And Friday, I put in like 14,000 steps. Amen. I said I burned about 1,500 calories. And I was just so happy. Amen. And then Sister Darcy, I happened to glance over her Facebook page. She done walked like 30,000 steps and 5,000 calories. And I put on that, what? Where did you go? To the Philippines? Camp Burga. Amen. It's a painful process to get over those things that hinder us from having spiritual clarity. But I assure you, my brothers and sisters, you're better off getting over it. I said you're better off getting over it. Whatever it is that you know is outside of the will of God for your life, if you really want to be used by Him, if you really want to be a disciple of Christ, and if you want to disciple others, you need spiritual clarity for you and for other people. And so you've got to let go of some stuff, even if it is painful. Now, we go through that painful process, again, first of all, for ourselves, because we want to be better fit for the use of the kingdom. But ultimately, we ought to go through that painful process because watch this. I didn't just get saved. No, let me rephrase that. God didn't only save me just to say He saved me. God saved me so I could help somebody else, what? Get saved. But if I don't have spiritual clarity, not only does it hinder my work for God, amen, it hinders me in helping other folk. Because when you remove those beams, those logs, those splinters, those specks, whatever it is, out of your eye, it gives you the spiritual clarity wherewith you're able to influence others for the kingdom. Here's why. Because number one, as you remove those sins and those weights, amen, it helps you to become more humble. How many of you know you need humility if you're going to serve God? Pride has no place in his kingdom. Amen. Amen. You need humility if you're gonna serve God. Because, see, a lot of times the reason we don't witness to folk, the reason we don't share the gospel with folk is because we already have concluded they aren't worthy of the gospel. We've concluded that they are not worthy of God's grace. But if the truth would be told, if God was willing to save you, you see, I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens there. If he was willing to save you, he's willing to save anybody. And I am in Bible country because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. I had to tell some of my male pastor friends who have a problem with women preachers, amen. I had to tell some of them, I told one brother, I said, brother, if God would let you preach, I'm talking about somebody I know well, amen. You know, you're talking about, I don't believe no woman preacher, amen. I said, if God could call you, woo. See, y'all don't know like I know what I'm talking about. But don't ever get beside yourself into thinking, amen, that you're all that in a bag of chips and that God saved you because you deserved it. Where are my folk who know that God didn't save you because you deserved it? He saved you because of what we call grace and mercy. See, some of y'all are fronting on God. Some of you know, amen, that even now that you are saved, your life is still messed up from the flow up, and yet he still wakes you up. He still shows you mercy. He still extends his grace to you, and you ought to be humble enough and thankful enough to say, Lord, I'm willing to go through the painful process if I can help somebody else to get a closer walk with you. I'm willing to go through the painful process if it's going to help somebody else to be saved. The process is painful, but it helps you develop humility. Not only does it help you develop humility, it helps you to develop understanding. See, if you have removed beams and splinters and specks from your life, then you will know and appreciate the pain that another brother, the pain that another sister is having to go through to get there. Amen. That's why God calls all kind of folk into the kingdom. He calls alcoholics. He calls former prostitutes, former drug dealers. Amen. Ex, we all supposed to be ex-somethings, right? And do you know why God calls ex-folk into his kingdom? Because we're better able to tell the folk who are still caught up in whatever we were caught up in. We better understand how hard it is to put the bottle down, how hard it is to put the joint, the weed. Y'all saw the young football player, amen, with the thing mask on his face and all of that. Amen. Don't you get so high that you forget when you had that mask on. But he looked beyond your faults. He saw your needs. Amen. Going through the painful process will help you to gain humility. It will help you to gain understanding. But then there's one more thing that it will help you to develop. And we talked about it in our Sunday school this morning. It will help you to develop faith. Because as God enables you to remove the offensive beam or log or splinter or speck from your life, your confidence in his ability to help your brother or your sister with their problem will be greatly increased. You'll be able to give greater encouragement as you bear witness to God's beam removing power. Such faith is so important in ministering to others with problems. Most of them are in desperate need of hope. The only hope I have is in Jesus. I said, the only hope I have is in Jesus. Amen. Amen. You ought to want spiritual clarity. And you'll get it, my brothers and sisters, as you surrender yourself to God. God, help me to overcome this sin. Help me to overcome this temptation. Help me to overcome this stronghold so that I might be of use to your kingdom. And if you want to know how Reverend Garner made it, it was amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Come on, where are my witnesses? I was blind, but now I see. Is there anybody here today who can say, I don't see with 20/20 vision, but my vision is a whole lot better than it used to be? Because God has been working on me. Because God has shown mercy to me. Is there anybody here today, if you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, you will thank God for the painful process of log removal, of splinter removal? Is there anybody here today who's happy that God was willing to look beyond your faults and see your needs, and he gave you enough time to get it right? He gave you enough time to get it straightened out. He gave you enough time to open your eyes and see that without him you are nothing, and without him you would surely fail. As we stand all over this place,
we at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast, already in progress.
I want to turn to two verses of scripture, one in the Old Testament and then one in the New Testament. Both are very familiar. First, coming from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says these words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, poor neighbor, Jesus is our Prince of Peace." Praise God. You need to look at him again. Say, "Neighbor, Jesus is your Prince of peace." Praise God. As I look in this world that we live in, and I go back to Isaiah prophesied about the coming of our Lord some 800 years before he was born. Praise God. Reason I believe that Isaiah, in titling and naming one of the names that he gives in our text, because there was little peace in Judah during the time that he penned these words. Judah didn't experience